Hey everybody, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister of this congregation, and I'm honored to join you again today. So again, thanks for joining us. If you are a long-timer, a lifer in this congregation, we are so glad to have you again. Thanks for your presence here. If you are new to this church or new to this church thing, we are just as grateful for your presence today. So thank you for joining us. Watch what happens during the service. Watch the way that people care for each other and love each other. And I want you to know that you are welcome here just as much. If you're watching live, will you check in, please? Let us know who is watching with you so we can have a somewhat record of your attendance. If you are watching later this morning, tomorrow, even later in the week, you can comment as well and just let us know that you're here. Also, bring your listening ears today. See if God has a word for you this morning. Bring your minds, bring your intellect, bring your heart, bring your fears, bring your uncertainties, bring your gratitude, especially. For today we worship and we gather together, even though we are apart. A little bit later in our service, we will share communion together, so now's a great time to get your bread ready, your cup ready, your drink, whatever you choose to use is just fine. We'll also give our money, so please be mindful of that. Be prepared at that point. We'll sing, we'll worship together, and our good friend Andrea is back with us today, and what a joy and an honor that is every time that she is with us. So thank you, Andrea, for that once again. We look forward to that. Cora will light in a moment our Christ candle. Chelsea will bless us and send us out in benediction. So, relax, take a deep breath. You're here, engage, be fully present, because Christ meets us here too, and He is our reason for doing what exactly we're doing. Our Christ candle, this is week number 25 that we have done this, 25 weeks that we've been apart from one another because of the continuing pandemic in our world. This candle that we light each and every week reminds us that Christ's presence is with us anyway and no matter what. So Cora is going to come and light this candle, and I will come back and read our psalm for the morning. Our psalm is from 105 today. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him, yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. Exalt in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. Remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles, and the rulings He has given. You children of His servant Abraham, you descendants of Jacob, His chosen ones. Let's sing together.
Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you again. I continually look forward to when we'll get to join together here in this room, in this space, together again. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor. Have a blessed day.
Andrea, thank you, as always, for your presence. We are grateful for that. All right, our young friends, those of you who are in our Roots Age class or Miss Martha's classroom, you should have your Leaves bulletin, and you can either start on that, continue on it, and you can work on that throughout the rest of our service. We are so grateful for your presence, as always, in our congregation. Thanks for joining us again today. Once upon a time, I was a gymnast. Not Simone Biles level gymnast, of course, but a decent enough gymnast to impress the crowds at events. I never really got the hang of the pommel horse or parallel bars, and I've got a really nice scar on my left pinky finger to prove it. But I did become quite good at floor exercises, vaults, and rings. I could do flips and spins and handsprings back and front, and even an iron cross for a few seconds before my sixth grade muscles gave way. My parents would come to my events and practices, and I remember my dad standing at the top of the bleachers with his video camera perched on his right shoulder, the old school kind that weighed 57 pounds and required VHS tapes. Sometimes when I go to my parents' homes these days, when we want a good laugh, we'll pull out some of those family videos long since transferred to DVD. We'll watch the birthday party for my 95-year-old great-grandmother, summer vacations to Colorado, and, if we are all lucky, my gymnastics highlight reel. In one video, there I am, all of 11 years old at Central Arkansas Christian in the high school gymnasium, rocking a purple Mustangs t-shirt tucked into black sweatpants. Near the end of my floor routine, I stand at the right side of the mat, lean over at the waist, bend low, and place my hands on the ground and lift myself up, and now I'm upside down. My fingers where my feet should be, my feet where my head should be. And I'm walking on my hands the entire length of the mat, steady and sure as if this is completely normal, and my toes are pointed toward the ceiling, and upon reaching the end of the mat, I finish with a flourish, a delicate forward roll, nice and tucked, and then stand tall and take in the swelling applause directed right at me. And I embellish none of that story. A couple of years ago, when Jessica Vaughn organized a talent show to raise money for the CU Dodd mission trip, I volunteered my gymnastics talent, probably to prove to myself more than anyone else that I could still walk on my hands. And so I did. You may remember that. I walked on my hands down the center aisle of the chairs we had set up in the lobby. And as I went, handprint by handprint, I saw along the way your shoes and purses and empty food plates you would lay on the ground. And I finished not so much with a flourish, but, unfortunately, with a tweaked back that I think I hid from you, though my flushed face may have given away the increasing truth that I am not as young as I once was. That's the last time I've walked on my hands in public. Other than playing on the floor with my daughter, rarely anymore do I see things from that perspective. My face closer to the earth than to the sky. Hardly ever is my vantage point opposite of what is expected. Jesus came to change our vantage point, to change our perspective. He showed us how to look for God in the wombs of unmarried teenage girls, how to search for truth in feeding troughs, how to find shepherds and angels worshiping in otherwise lonely fields, how to picture new and frightened parents on the run from Herod, He came to teach us that the last is first and the first is last, that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, that the poor and the meek are blessed, that enemies are worthy of love, as are the younger and older brothers who both lose their way, that carrying a cross is the way of life, that death in the end is overcome, that our true and forever home is with God. In his 33 years, Jesus topsy-turvied everyone he met. Fathers who were left holding the fishing nets after their sons left the family business. Pharisees who met with him in the middle of the night. Divorcee women who talked with him at the town well. Demon-possessed persons who were freed. Tax agents who gave away more than they collected. Brash disciples who thought they knew it all. Blurred disciples who betrayed him. Religious leaders who tried to slander him. High priests who ripped their expensive clothes. Roman governors who became conflicted. Soldiers who nailed him to a piece of wood. Dying criminals who received forgiveness at the last second. Faithful women who wept as he hung there. A grieving friend who thought the risen Christ was the gardener of the cemetery. Jesus came to change our vantage point. He came to flip everything and everyone upside down. Since early June, we have been dangling upside down in the book of Acts, dabbling yet again in that lifelong discipleship process of discerning what it means to be a Christ follower, a Christian, and what that means for the present future of the church. So far, we've seen the message of Jesus do its thing in Acts, drawing folks in by its grace while repelling others by that same grace. We've seen the Spirit of God disorient and then reorient person after person, people after people. The savingness of Christ keeps on spreading uncontained from town to town, region to region, one continent to the next. Unsurprisingly, since Jesus experienced the exact same thing, detractors and disturbers rampage against anything that tries to uproot and spin the script toward newness. We saw it in the arrests of the apostles. We saw it in vicious Saul before he saw the light. We saw it last week in Philippi. And we see it again in our short text for today, Acts chapter 17, if you have your Bibles ready. After Paul and Silas are freed from prison in Philippi, they head for Thessalonica, where for at least 3 weeks they share the good news of Jesus with the people there. And because of God's Spirit, a large number of God-fearing Greeks and several prominent women join the movement. But alas, unchecked jealousy becomes once again the building blocks of rage, and a mob is quickly formed to stamp out the glowing embers in people's hearts and newfound practices. The mob hunts for Paul and Silas, but don't find them. And instead, they find a man named Jason and a few others. These men are dragged before the city council members. Here are the charges made against them in verse 6. These people who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them. They are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. It's one of the most striking phrases in all of Acts, turning the world upside down. The church turns the world on its head. It's also one of the most challenging. upside down, this means professing allegiance not to Caesar and his nation, the king of the vast and powerful Roman territory, but to Jesus, the king of creation, who laid down his life for the sake of the world. The Caesar version of the world can tolerate many things as long as it doesn't threaten the fall in line order of the land. But once activities and allegiance veers away like a hurricane from that version, well then, we can't have that. Send in the mob, send in the guard, clear out the dissenters, silence the agitators, restore uniformity, go on their way. The experimental question in this text for us believers is this: is the gospel of Jesus Christ rearranging our loyalties? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ rearranging our loyalties? Throughout history, and even in our own time, it's not uncommon to find the church grasping for a seat at the emperor's table, wanting to be recognized as culturally influential. But when the coziness of power takes the place of the cost of discipleship, then we cast our lot with the kingdoms of the world to the detriment of our calling in the kingdom of God. The church's job is not to buddy up with Caesar's empire or to believe that Christ and Caesar can blissfully coexist at the top of the food chain. More often than not, the way of Christ grates against the way of Caesar, exposing the worn-out cogs that keep that engine running. The way of Caesar steals, kills, and destroys. In defiance of Caesar's decrees, we see here in Acts 17 that the church is called to imaginatively and concretely live into God's upside-down vision of creation, the one that Jesus himself Emmanueled into. Admittedly, that's a hard ask for today in today's world, especially when it seems like everything is already chaotically overturned. Black men continuing to be shot in city streets, violence begetting violence, an unempathetic virus that rages on, jobs that disappear in a snap, mighty storms that rip apart our towns, misinformation disseminated so easily. If you are heartbroken and confused by the aches of the day and of the year, I assure you, you are not alone. For those of us who believe, for us who want to believe, even in the face of turmoil, the life and teachings of Jesus changes our identity, changes our alliances, changes our allegiances, changes our spending practices, changes how we see people, changes how we see God. And by the Spirit of God, we are changed from the inside out and the outside in. Change is the bottom line. The world and structure of Caesar has nothing to stand on when the bottom falls out and the walls come a-tumbling down. That's the nature of the gospel. So, us here, you listening, this Southwest Central congregation, the God we worship, the one Andrea sang over us just a bit ago, is the one up there on that cross with the charge above his head that reads, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This is the one we follow. This is our King, our one King, the one up there on the cross. It takes a lot of self-reflection and prayer and bravery to determine if other royalty exists in our life. And just as much, if not more, to determine that for the church. The cross, meanwhile, shows us that Jesus aims to turn us upside down, to flip-flop us, to spin us around. He may even get us to walk on our hands a little while. Hard as it may be to have those unruly things fall out of our pockets that never needed to be there in the first place. Once down there, though, we'll see Jesus, for that's where he is. And once there, we'll see clearly as if for the first time. Only then can we join the women weeping at the base of the cross. Only then can we hold someone else's feet and wash them. Only then can we listen and then speak from the ground instead of the clouds. Jesus has captured our hearts, my friends, because he's told us and he's shown us that there is a better way, a fresh perspective, a new vantage point, a kingdom of heaven that's at hand. Therefore, the upside-down church gives to Caesar what is Caesar's, takes up the cross that Caesar never wanted in the first place, and walks onward, following the King who loves us, who loves his world, and is not dead. May it be so. And together we say aloud from right where you are, or type, Amen. We continue to pray our way through Acts because Acts' pages are saturated in prayer. It's everywhere you turn. You yourselves have been our prayer people throughout this Acts series, and I have been blessed and honored not only to ask you to write them, but blessed and honored to share them with this congregation. Today our prayer comes from Ken and Don Henson. We love these two so very much, crucial and quiet servants among us, and their hearts shine forth, especially in the writing that I'm about to share. So I'm grateful for the Hensons today. So here's their prayer, and Chelsea will post it in just a moment on this comment thread. So here's the prayer. Most awesome God, thank you for the gift of life. May we use this life not for the consumption of resources, but for a life of service. We are thankful for family and pray that our children and grandchildren will use their lives to serve their fellow beings. We pray for our neighbors to the east. They have experienced a major catastrophe in their lives. They will be assisted in putting their lives back together, but bad memories will linger. We can see your mighty power in the forces of nature that you display before us. These things can be terrifying, but at the same time, they assure us of your presence, that there is nothing you cannot do. You are in charge. Help us to overcome the turmoil that is consuming our country and even our very lives, and focus on you. You are God, and without you, we are nothing. Give us the strength to worship you in the presence of opposition, just like Paul and Silas did. Keep in our hearts the knowledge that you love us, and help us to live our lives so that others can see Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that was given that we may spend eternity in a heavenly home. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Don and Ken, not only for your prayer, but for leading us to the table at this point. So I encourage you as you have your bread and your cup before you, to head straight to that table and eat and drink with one another. Let this prayer carry you into prayer. Let's do that now as we share at the table of grace.
To celebrate? All right, let's stand up and let's celebrate the Lord together tonight.
This is the season for new anointing. This is the season for a fresh outpouring. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. In the beginning God created, and for His pleasure all creation sings. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory now arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory now arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Please let me remind you that this is the time where we receive an offering, where you can give your contributions, your tithes, your financial commitments to the work of this congregation. You can do that via the mail, bring it up to the office. We'll take care of it that way. Or, as always, you can give online. Thank you for doing that. A couple of family matters to share with you. We are week number 25 meeting online like this, and as long as in the Houston area we are at level red for the COVID virus, we will keep meeting as we are. So thank you for your continued patience, as this has definitely become our new normal. As Andrea so beautifully put just a few minutes ago, we very much look forward to being back together. A couple of other things. Our Wednesday distribution of food bags to our neighbors, to our neighborhood, continues. And so many of you have given items and food and funds for something like that. If you want to be someone who actually puts the bags together, stuffs in the notes and the fruit and the canned goods, you are more than welcome to do that. Lori Tucker is your contact for that specifically, and I guarantee you it greatly helps. So if you want to do that, contact Lori, please. Our Thursday Bible class begins this Thursday, and it's on Zoom. And if Zoom terrifies you, that's okay. We have our good friend King, who is in the office ready and willing to assist you this week. Those of you who have said that you want to be a part of that, he will contact you, walk you through the process of exactly how to do that. So be looking for a phone call from him, an email from him, and he will take care of you this week. That will begin this Thursday at 10:30 in the morning. I want to let you know one more thing. I got a call from our sister Linda Woodson just a couple of days ago. Linda's sister unexpectedly passed away up in Tyler, Texas, just a couple of days ago. And Linda's pretty shaken up about this. She's not on any social media platform. She has not been able to join us via Facebook Live or anything like that. So please, please reach out to her. Give her a phone call. You can check your church directory for her address. You can call up to the office for the address. Send her a note and let her know that you are thinking of her, that you love for her, that you love her, and that you are praying for her this week. Thanks for taking care of Linda in that way. Well, my time is done. Chelsea's going to come send us out with a benediction and a blessing. Thanks, as always, for gathering, spending 30, 35 minutes with us in this place and at this time. Blessings on you.
Well, we've reached the end of our service, friends, and so I want to leave you with some homework to do, something to think about. I think Steve has left us with some good words to take in and let sit on our hearts about looking at the world in an upside-down manner differently, letting our hearts be changed. And so I encourage you to lean into a practice this week that may be a little bit uncomfortable or different than what you do in your daily life. And so that can look like a variety of things. I know 4 or 5 weeks ago, I encouraged all of you to lean into the practice and discipline of practicing gratitude daily. And so maybe that is something that you can take on, or practicing 5 minutes of meditation or grounded prayer or breath prayer, or something that takes you out of the normal, causes you to pause, to ground into yourself and to God, and maybe ask God to help you look at things differently, help to see from a different vantage point, to have your heart changed. And so I'm looking for ways to practice that in my life, to pull away from the news, from social media, from all the things that beg my attention, and to pull into God so he can teach me, so he can grow within me and in my heart. And hopefully, as someday we get to leave our houses more and be around more people, that change, that groundedness can be seen and observed in other people. So think about that this week as you are engaging in the world around you and wherever that looks like in the middle of COVID. Like everyone has said, we look very much forward to when we can gather in this room. And until then, may God be with you. May God be with the ones that you love. And may God continue to rest and move and change our world. Know you are loved. Have a good week, friends.